The first reading is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastwards, they found a plain in China and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to the city, and the tower the people were building, the Lord said, "If as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andrew. So Andy is doing our second reading from Zoom.
Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now I pray for Ian as he comes to speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask that you inspire Ian with what you have given him and that you open our hearts to hear what you're saying individually to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Helen, and thank you to our two Andrews for our readings today. Today seems to be a celebration of absolutely everything that you can think of. Platinum Jubilee bank holiday weekend with loads of events, which we've been enjoying so much. Tea parties, barbecues, fly pasts, celebrations of the Queen's long reign, concerts, all sorts of things. And thank you for the tea party particularly, and indeed for the community library and the men's fix-it group and all sorts of community things that have been going on. So what we're doing in our service is we're taking a little half-term break from the letters to the churches in Revelation to celebrate this special day today. For the Jews, it's 50 days after Passover, so it's Shavuot, as they call it, the Feast of Weeks, the celebration of the wheat and grain harvest. Perhaps you've seen some wheat standing tall in the fields around about us. And also for Jews, it's the commemoration, the remembering of the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, to Moses on Mount Sinai. But for Christians, it's 50 days after Easter, so Pentecost, which means 50 days, used to be called Whitsun, for the white garments worn by catechumens who were learning the Christian faith. In Colchester's Charter Hall at the moment, there's a big Christian gathering to celebrate, but I expect it'll carry on a little bit into lunchtime and afternoon and so on. And there are lots of other local events, picnics, street parties, concerts, and so on. The Christian Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church. It's when it all kicked off in earnest. The early Christian disciples, well, they'd seen the risen Jesus on Easter Sunday, first of all. And then they'd met with him for 40 days. And they'd begun to learn over that time the significance of what had happened. That his death on the cross was not a defeat and a tragic end, but it was actually a triumph over evil and a victory over sin. And his resurrection proved it, proved that the kingdom of God had broken into this present age. It had begun on earth, not yet fulfilled and completed, of course. Sin and evil are still with us, as we know from seeing the news each day, and indeed from our own life experience. But the kingdom of God had started. The new creation had begun with the 12 in the upper room in Jerusalem. And after those 40 days of teaching, Jesus left them on Ascension Day, and he told them to wait. What was his last command to them? Well, it was to do nothing, to wait and not to leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized, said Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so they waited. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered together in one place, They were baptized in wind and fire, and power came upon each one of them. This is what they were waiting for. Because the law, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, that had told them God's commands, how he wanted us all to behave. But we couldn't do it. The Jews discovered that over centuries. They couldn't resist temptation and sin, and nor can we. It's the innate human urge to do things our way. Jesus showed us God's way of living in practice. This is how human life should be when you look at the life of Jesus. But the disciples, they tried to follow him. They couldn't do it very well. They messed up all the time. And then Jesus died on the cross to forgive sin. And he rose again to prove that sin and death had been conquered. But still the disciples couldn't quite go out and put it into practice. They needed something more. They needed God's power within. So they waited. So why did we read then about the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament that Andrew Waters read to us? Well, many people have commented that the day of Pentecost seems like a recapitulation, a reversal of Babel. In Genesis 11, mankind's sin of pride led them to try to build a city to reach to the very heavens and to make a name for themselves. So the legend says, God came down and confused their language, so they couldn't understand one another, and they were scattered over the face of the whole earth. I think that's a little hint about the spread of humanity from the African Rift Valley up into the Middle East and into Europe, and then across Asia and down through the Americas and so on. And on the day of Pentecost, gathered all together in one place in Jerusalem, were God-fearing Jews from every one of those nations under heaven. And they were all speaking different languages. I wonder if you can see the connection, the link, the parallel there. And at that moment, God, the Holy Spirit, came down from heaven to earth. And rather than confusing their speech, what happened was when the apostles spoke, they could all understand them. And they were all utterly amazed. It was a sign of the new creation, renewing the old creation. A sign of the kingdom of God breaking into the kingdom of this world. And dramatically, the Holy Spirit fell on each and every follower of Jesus. And he imparted to them not just language and understanding, not just even unity in Christ between believers from every nation under heaven, but also power, symbolized in violent wind and tongues of flame. Holy Spirit power within to resist and overcome temptation, to turn away from sin and evil, to live as Jesus lived, obedient to God. And that ultimately is what the Holy Spirit is for, to make us more like Jesus every day. One day we'll be complete, holy as he is holy, fully ourselves, complete in character as we were created to be, and yet without sin, without blemish, without fault or failing. That day is still to come. But for now, the Holy Spirit has been given to Christian believers as a foretaste. St. Paul calls it an engagement ring, a promise of what's to come. And the Holy Spirit is a sign that the kingdom of God has broken into the kingdom of this world. And our aim, our desire, is to receive the Holy Spirit as much as we can, to let the Spirit of God live out the life of Jesus in our lives from day to day. The old evangelist D.L. Moody was once asked why on earth he keeps saying that we need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to go on being filled with the Spirit? Because I leak, he said, he replied. He actually pointed to a water tank that had a hole in it. He said, I leak the Holy Spirit, so I need to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. On Friday, as we were having our churchyard garden party and everything, a newcomer came in and asked, is this the church that's a bit happy-clappy? You know, I've heard that, actually. This church is a bit happy-clappy. I said, there's nothing wrong with being happy, is there? Surely. What's the problem with being happy? British people, we seem to have a slight innate disgust at joy and happiness and enthusiasm, don't we? On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were accused of being drunk. But they weren't, of course. It was 9 a.m. in the morning, Peter explained to the crowds. So it wasn't alcoholic spirit. It was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And his main purpose is not to make us happy, clappy, and weird, but to live out the life of Jesus on earth and to lead others to faith in Christ. And that was what Peter promptly did on the day of Pentecost, that amazing day. So on this day of Pentecost, I'm going to ask us all to pray that God would send his Holy Spirit on us as his present day disciples. And the prayer to pray is a very, very simple one. It's so ancient that we have it in Latin from the earliest days. Veni Spiritus Sanctus. Veni Spiritus Sanctus. In other words, come Holy Spirit. So as we pray now, just pray that prayer in your heart. Come Holy Spirit. And sense God's presence here today. And if you want to fill in the gaps and pray to God as you wish, that's good. But the main prayer is come Holy Spirit. Lord, send me, send us more of your Spirit today. Come Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, fall upon your people today.
We just wait in silence a bit longer as we pray, come Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we ask for more, Lord Jesus, more of your Holy Spirit. And as we sit in our attitude of waiting on Jesus, Mark will come and play to us. Remain seated. Jesus, take me as I am.